Welcome to another episode of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Today's episode of the CF Rundown is brought to you by our friends at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. Maybe you are a newly found Los Angeles Lakers fan and you need to get a purple and gold flag to put out in front of your house. Maybe you are a DeMarcus Cousins fan and you're another one of those snakes that wants to go and join the Golden State Warriors. And you need to add another Warriors flag to your to the front of your house. You can do that right now at Heartland Flags and heartlandflags.com. The presenting sponsor of today's episode of the CF Rundown. Rob Gray, are you a snake like DeMarcus Cousins?
I am not. You know, I'm Celtics true and true, through and through, all the way. Yeah, there we go. Now, my son faces the dilemma because he's a huge LeBron fan, and he finally got a little Cavs jersey shirt. Fortunately, it wasn't a full-blown jersey, even for the youth sizes, so it's going to be pricey. You got to hold on to that and bitterly. So I'm kind of going to urge him to be a Lakers fan. My sister and her lives out there with her husband, and maybe can get to a game sometime.
Man, those would be some contentious days in the Gray household if the Celtics and Lakers were to meet in the finals again.
Boy, those were great. That was a golden age, though, man. It was so much fun. But I can tell you this. My Celtics and your Sixers, clearly head and shoulders above the rest. I mean, Toronto, how are they going to come out with Nick Nurse? I mean, I don't think the head coach was a problem for why they tanked. I mean, they're still a good team.
Yeah.
But, boy, it looks good for us. It's kind of like when you face the competition and you go to the state tournament and you faced nobody and they're 30-1 in boys hoops, and then you face a team that runs the gauntlet and plays up a class. A lot of times they're like 15-12 and they get in and they just beat you by 30. You get used to certain levels of competition. They're going to be tested in the West, man. It's crazy how imbalanced that league is going to be.
Yeah, I don't – when I saw that DeMarcus Cousins was signing with them yesterday, thought I was going to have a mental breakdown. And then to see that he signed for the mid-level exception.
Yeah.
I was like, good God, what more do they need?
Yeah, exactly.
What more help do you need to give them? You're going to come out and sign the mid-level exception,
They really struggled to win that championship this year.
Right.
They had to sweat it out, didn't they?
Right, and everybody's on there acting like even adding Boogie is really that big of a deal. It's just one of those things, and then people are like, man, y'all act like adding DeMarcus Cousins is this deal breaker that all of a sudden they're so much better. It's like they're already the best team in the world. What more do they need?
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, that speaks to the organization, though. I mean, that a guy's willing to do that to win. I mean, I guess wouldn't you want a guy doing that instead of just taking max money and not even worrying about winning?
Man, what's Boogie done that acting like he cares about winning in the first, whatever, 10 years of his career?
I don't know.
Years.
Maybe this is his awakening.
Man, this – no. Like I said, what has this dude done in the first 8 years of his career that makes anyone think that he cares about winning?
All the more reason to get a bigger Celtics flag or Sixers flag and fly it proudly that, you know, all this other crap is going on in the league.
Man, if Kawhi doesn't end up on the Sixers – I'm going to be very upset.
I think you're going to be very upset.
I don't know. I think they could. They're going to have the best thing to offer anybody.
Yeah. That's true. We'll see.
I don't get what the Lakers are doing, though. This roster they're putting together is weird.
Very weird. I think LeBron has had some say.
It's like LeBron said, I want all the guys who have been a thorn in my side in the playoffs. go sign them all.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year, at least, coming up.
All right. So we're going to start with I went and saw good old Paul Rhodes last week. It was
out on Clear Lake.
Yeah. It was an experience. It was nice to see him. It really was.
I'll bet. He sounded very cordial. Obviously, he'd known Dan for a long, 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 long time. Very, very good interview. Very informative. Dan probed into some, you know, controversial topics too, just for things, because you know Rhodes is going to give you his honest take, and it was a very good listen. I mean, it was nice to hear his voice. There were so many, I mean, I had many pleasant interactions with them they always accommodate you. We're on the side. I've still got quotes I'm saving for the unlikely event that I ever get a hold of Steel Jantz that I got years ago from him about Steel. I've got Jevon Miller quotes about being Steel's roommate that I'm still holding on to. They're sitting there in a file. I just hope that, you know, by the time that it actually happens, those files can still be converted to whatever we're using then. But
I just can't wait for you to have to write Paul Rhodes said in 2013.
I can just say
whatever.
Paul Rhodes said while coaching the Cyclones, something like that, or years ago. Years ago might be how I generalize it.
Yeah. But. Yeah, Paul Rhodes said 23 years ago. What was your favorite quote from the podcast?
Oh, it was the one about the jackasses.
Oh, yeah, that's got to be that was the money quote.
That's number one. There were a lot of little gems in there, but as there always are with Paul Rhodes. But, I think, kind of cathartic to just hear him talk about his time at Iowa State, even though a lot of it was catching up with, where they had at UCLA. Very honest, of course, there too.
Right.
Blunt as he's always been. But I think it was a nice, it felt good to hear him go over that and give his, from the head man, I got a sense that, kind of how we saw it from the outside, it is a lot of how it went, man. If a few things start to go off, it's so easy for a couple stumbles to lead to rolling down a hill, and then it's tough to arrest that fall or tumble.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Like when he brought up the thing about the jackass farm, that I don't know that he could have described that any more perfectly.
Yep.
And that's what I was talking to Chris about one day. That when he said that, I mean, that's what we knew that whole time that they were really, when I first started covering the team, that's what they were trying to do, was get that culture back. Those guys had gotten into the program, and I remember they were talking about cliques and that not everybody was friends with each other and all kinds of stuff like that. And that's kind of what, and then he kind of confirmed that, which we knew anyway, because that's part of the thing that he was really talking about, really pushing a lot in those couple off seasons. But even when they'd come in and say, oh, it's fixed, it's so much better now.
Yeah.
It had gone so far down that it was like, okay, how much better really can it be without just a complete house cleaning? Which is what eventually would happen when Coach Campbell got here.
Yeah. And it became a statement of hope.
Yeah.
And I remember noticing that, and maybe even podcasts a few years ago, I might have even mentioned it, that you hope. And I think any time a new season started, guys were a little bit tighter together. But when losing had become routine.
Yeah.
And, some of the other stuff, the jackass farm issues, when stuff frayed, it just completely disintegrated. It was cohesive to a point, but it was like tenuous. And once that thread was gone, it was all back to where it was before. And you can see it all now, because I remember some of those. I remember sometimes when I would ask, because a number of those years, as usual, Wally Burnham had his bend but don't break defense. He'd keep him in games, get off the field sometimes against Oklahoma, sometimes against, teams that are clearly more talented than the Cyclones. And the offense would just go three and out. And I'd be asking, man, how tough is it when you're on the field that much? Or you remember the responses from those guys. They tried to give like a diplomatic response, like, I know that's our job, and we can't control those guys are trying, but how hard is it to not feel when you're doing your job and the other segment of the most important segment of the team isn't doing theirs collectively, to not get slightly resentful or not get kind of like, man, come on. I mean, that's a tough thing, human nature-wise, to really battle, especially when you have to do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. At some point, some people are going to be like, man, F those guys. They're just not getting the job done. I'm going to do the best I can over here, but geez.
What's one question that wasn't asked that you wish had been asked?
Maybe just what the last couple days was like. You know, because we were, of course, we had to hang around, and it's always like you're hanging around a gallows. I hate those situations, trying to get somebody to say something, and you just know how painful it is for so many people. And seeing him just kind of zoom off with some of his stuff, and I mean, it had to have been just because he'd been that close to, I mean, the pinnacle. I mean, he was getting the most out of his guys. He'd inspired them, and it took a couple jackasses, a number of misses, and unfortunately in recruiting, and it all went away, and you had to deal with it in that way. Now, I will say, you know, as a respected coach, he's obviously landed on his feet, you know. Run at Arkansas, where they looked like maybe they were going to turn a corner again a little bit, and they didn't do it. So, out there, but then gets a job out in Westwood, UCLA. Maybe when I visit sometime, I'll go and try to do a follow-up with Paul. Yeah. See if I can head into the hills with him on his Harley. I like that because we've done some driving through there, and it's incredible driving around the hills, and as you said, the canyons, just everything all through there. I can imagine him having a smile on his face as he does that. So, good for him.
I think the only other thing that I would have really wanted to know about was Mangino.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's so much.
It would have been a tough question to ask, but.
It would have been. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, especially when. I mean, he's letting us in his home. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Like, we weren't there to really ruffle any feathers or anything like that. This was a very. You know, cordial ordeal.
And even though it wouldn't be, I don't think, in any way disparaging toward Paul to ask the question to Mangino, it would be like speaking of jackasses, what about the way this guy was after clashing with you all this time? I mean, it could be just how combative was it? How difficult was it to have him stay in with you guys rather than try to just basically undermine everything that you did? And I think it's kind of taboo among coaches unless one has outright, clearly
done wrong to someone.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like they know they said X to this recruit and it's been publicized. Or
tweeting the fat lady is singing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that's not the same. I don't think that's the same, you know, as to somebody that – so I think it kind of in the profession – even though I'm sure he'd say, I don't think he'd want to say much about it. But it would be, you're right, it would be nice to hear his honest thoughts about it because, man, that had to have been, you think of that in the movie Inside Out, the Lewis Black, you know, blowing the top gift that's been all over. I mean, I could just see that happening. Oh, rightly so.
Yeah. I don't know. That was just a weird situation. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We're going to talk about some NBA Summer League when we come back here on the CF Monday Rundown. It's actually Tuesday.
Yep.
Whatever day it is. Happy 4th of July, presented by Heartland Flags.
Hello, friends. We'll get you back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast here in just a minute. This is Chris Williams, and I want to tell you guys about a great experience I recently had. Mine was up at Ames Eye Clinic. Now, the same guys, Dr. Kruger and the crew, are also down in Des Moines. So we've got a lot of options for you here. But I had lunch with Dr. Kruger, and I was telling him about some of the symptoms that I had had. I was having headaches all the time. I felt like I needed like in the back of my neck, it was weird. It was like stiff all the time. I noticed, you know, I was having problems reading up close. It was weird. Went in. Had my eyes checked, and sure enough, you know, I had some issues going on that I never even thought of. I never had to wear glasses as a kid. You get a little bit older. They hooked me up with some glasses that I use now when I'm looking at my computer screen all day working here at Cyclone Fanatic. Headaches have not completely gone away, but they've gotten a lot better. If you're like me, you probably haven't had your eyes checked in years. It had been over a decade since I had. Really glad that I went in there. Most insurance, it's going to work because they can code it that it's health. There's a lot of different things that can happen with that. I'd love for you guys to give them a shot. Ames Eye Clinic. It's up on 10th Street. If you are in Des Des Moines. It's over on 2600 Grand Avenue. They will hook you up. Awesome guys. They're big Cyclone fans and proud supporters of CycloneFanatic.com, and they've helped me a lot. All right, here back today to our newest installment of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Tuesday rundown. 4th of July. Hope everybody out there is traveling safely to wherever destination you may be headed. What are you doing for the 4th, Rob?
Hey, I'm backyard. Huh. Pretty much.
Exciting.
I went to Minneapolis a while back at my great Cyclone fan, my wife's dad's retirement in Adams County engineer. 39 and a half years.
Did you hit the speedway?
We did not. We heard it though.
Okay.
We were celebrating elsewhere, and it's a good time. And we'll be going up to our cabin next week up in Nisswa, Minnesota. So good times. Before we start talk Summer League, I do want to drop something in there though. Obviously that's hugely important. A lot of people in Ankeny affected by the rains and floods, and we were affected. I had to cut up and pull up all our carpet because some seeped in under our foundation house we built 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. All high-end stuff. I don't know if it was just a freak thing or whatever. But then, of course, my friend Larry Kotler. I just wanted to say something about Larry because everyone said it, but there's a reason everyone's saying it. As genuine and as nice and as helpful and caring a person as you will find in this profession in every single way. And the way he took up, I mean, he's faced a ton of adversity over the last few years, battling cancer of his own, some other things some people in his family had faced, you know, all the things that happened with the blow up with Marty, and they had a high rated show in the morning and sabotaged. I mean, he found a way to, you know, grin and bear it and shine through and find other things and still be the same guy. I just wanted to say, you know, pay tribute to him. And I know there's a GoFundMe page for his family, other things. Barnstormers are doing something with their title game thing, helping to raise some money for the family. But just a great guy, and wanted to pay tribute to him there, Pierre, quickly.
For sure. Yeah, man, that was not what you expect to wake up to on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
I had no idea that anything had happened until, it was probably, man, I was up till 4 in the morning Saturday night. We went and walked around in the floods. And all this stuff.
Yeah, I saw your stuff you were posting.
Yeah. That was fun. But they asked me to do an interview on Channel 5. Someone asked me to. And I called in and did that. And while I was called in and listened, that's when I had heard that someone had died.
Someone, yeah.
But at that time, we didn't know who it was. And when I woke up the next morning and saw that it was him, I mean, that just... Like you said, he'd battled cancer, I know, for quite a while. And I think that, I don't know that he beat it or anything like that, but I think that he had come pretty close.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, that was pretty jarring.
Yeah.
You know?
To me, it was exactly to me, too. And because I had been up at Corning again, watching the rainfall totals and kind of worrying about our relatively new house. And then the next morning, I get up and it said the person who has been identified, and it's Larry. I just, what?
Right. It's one of those things where you're like, no way. Like, that can't be true.
And not that you want to, obviously, you don't want anybody. You know, if it's a random person, it's still like, man, how horrible for that person and their families and all that. But you've been around him a few times, certainly, but he's always an upbeat. I mean, you'd say, you know, it's hard to find words as to how that, because again, he's gone through so much and always stays on the bright side and always treats people great. I've never seen him, even after the got dealt a few bad hands, really bad hands, and you'd see him and he'd be as friendly to you as he's ever been. I mean, that's the mark of a person with good character, that they don't let what bad thing that's happening to them turn them into people who are jerks around you. That they're not going to take you into that. They're not going to pull you in. They're going to be the same. Hey, if they ask how they're doing, it's like, Yeah, I'm plugging away. A couple bad things happen, but you know, I'm staying positive. I'm going to keep working because that's the right approach. But not everyone can do that. And Larry's kind and generous soul made it so no matter what he was facing, he was the same guy when he interacted with others.
All right, two final points. One, do not drive in water when you can't see how deep it is.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that anybody out there who is listening to this needs to learn. Don't even try. That if you could have seen some of the water that I was walking around in on Saturday night, knee deep, waist deep.
Are you caught up on all your shots, like tetanus, all that stuff?
Sure, close enough.
Okay.
I'm still here, aren't I?
For now.
If you can't see how deep the water is, don't drive into it. That's my first thing. That is just I would say that's a common sense deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we learned Saturday night that there's enough people getting stuck. And I saw cars that were basically completely submerged in water.
Yep.
Don't try.
Yeah.
Get out and walk.
We'll say this, when rain falls that fast sometimes, though, you get caught in it and you're thinking, okay, I can get to point X.
Yeah.
And then you can't. And then you start turning other places.
Then try and get to high ground.
Then you get, yeah. Yeah. I think sometimes when it's that type of, almost an apocalyptic type of event, when you get that much localized rain of time, you can just get in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's just an example is don't go out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you don't have that option. I mean, gosh, there are people whose entire basements are submerged. They're up some of their main level stuff was submerged, or if they were just one level, I mean, some of that was. So, I mean, man, tough deal all around, but absolutely. I mean, don't even think, I think I can get through here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
not worth trying.
No.
All right, but then last thing, RIP to the biggest Rolodex in sports. Man is a legend.
Indeed.
He'll be greatly missed. All right, let's talk about the NBA Summer League for 1 second. George Niang, 17 points last night for the Utah Jazz in the Utah Summer League. This is not the main one. The Vegas Summer League, I believe, starts on Friday.
Hmm.
I'm pretty sure. I'm looking. Yep, Friday, 6th. Deontay Burton will play on the 6th, as will Monte Morris. I know all 30 teams are playing in the Vegas one.
Okay.
So I don't know when. Yeah, looks like Naz and George will then play on their first games in Vegas on Saturday. They'll play again today, Tuesday, tonight at 8 p.m., and Thursday at 8 p.m. as well. So there you go. There you can get a quick little summer league action in here for the next couple of days. But George played well last night, so it's good to see.
Well, it would be nice if, you know, at least a couple of those guys can stick. As I know, George and Naz have had their moments in the league, but not nearly as many moments as they want. And then they've done extremely well, especially with the Salt Lake
Stars.
Yeah, so... I think Deontay's a long shot, obviously, but he did a great job playing overseas, and I'm sure he'll continue to do that doesn't.
Put some respect on the name of the Korean Basketball League MVP, please.
Okay. And
he was so good they had to change the rules of the league. Can't have more than one guy taller than 6'5".
That's impressive. A nice launching off point for him.
Yeah,
too. But I mean, Monte, I think, really showed promise in his, you know, two-way career so far. So it'd be really nice to see a bunch of those guys. And we know, I mean, with Typha, if Deontay could consistently knock down the three-point shot and defend reasonably well, there's no reason he couldn't find a spot. At least find himself maybe where those guys were in a two-way situation. And then, you know, some places were more lucrative than others overseas, obviously. We know Matt Thomas is, I think, raking it.
Yeah,
a bit.
See, the thing,
I think Tyrus is doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think the thing that people forget sometimes about this whole summer league deal is, yeah, they're playing with a specific team, But more than you're trying to impress your own team, you're just trying to impress everybody.
Exactly.
You just need one person to see you and say, all right, we're going to give that guy a chance. You know? It's about being impressive to everybody more than it is about being impressive to just, you know, in George and Naz's case. Well, it's a little different for George, but in Naz and Deontay's case specifically, it's more about just looking, playing well, looking good to everybody than it is to looking good to the Jazz or to the Thunder. For Monte and George, they're both on those two-way contracts, so they're both locked in, you know. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I'll definitely be watching. You're going to watch it all?
Probably some. The great thing about all those guys, though, is they – if it becomes apparent – and you hope it doesn't, obviously, but if it becomes apparent that it's not going to be a deal where they can stick in the league for whatever reason, they've got big-time overseas money written all over them.
Oh, yeah.
Lengthy careers. I mean,
if George wanted to go overseas, he'd probably be one of the highest paid players over there.
Yep. And Naz, the way he can shoot it, the things he's shown, the way he grew, just even is towards his latter time at Iowa State, and then the jump he took that I don't think people expected to as he launched into the pro career. I mean, boy, but the way he shoots it, and he has a really well-rounded game now. And we all know about Monte and Deontay. I mean, it's future's bright for them, but you hope that this summer league experience makes it brighter stateside here.
I'm surprised Matt didn't get another chance this year, as well as he played in the one last year.
Yeah, that's true. But
defending,
I wonder,
summer league champion.
But I don't know if you're. I mean, when you're basically among the elite leagues over there.
He's basically in the second best league in the world.
Yeah. So when they're paying you certain amounts, they kind of go, we got you locked down here for a while. I mean, I know I'm not sure that's the case, but I would think it would be in their best interest.
We need to send Rob to Spain.
I'll head over
there.
We
need the Matt Campbell, or not Matt Campbell. Matt Campbell's not in Spain. Matt Thomas. We need a Matt Thomas feature.
Well,
Campbell
might go over there. You know, you never know.
Where's he playing at in Spain? Do we remember?
I cannot remember, unfortunately. I don't think it's Madrid, but
I don't think so either.
We'll do more research.
Okay. All right. Thanks, man. Have a happy 4th.
Yep. Thank you, and happy 4th to everyone else. And yeah, I look forward to seeing you post-holiday, and you get some good R&R.
Yeah, everybody travel safely. Be careful with fireworks. Don't get too drunk before you're messing around with fire.
Or after
you're messing around with fire. Yeah, don't drive if you are impaired. What else? What other 4th of July rules can we have?
I think you've covered them.
And go Cyclones.
Yeah.
Talk to you guys later. Thanks again to Heartland Flags. Peace.